The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For more than a decade, he's been your destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Good morning, Chris. Great show as always.
You really are special. I love the way you and Eddie team, but you really are a gem, Chris. You've got clarity in a very mucky room.
Hello, Chris. You are a national treasure with the perspective you bring to us.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Well, it's great to be with you today. It's Friday. Welcome in. You made it to the weekend. The telephone number is 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. Remember how Joe Biden would always warn us that the dark winter was coming? It's going to be a dark winter. He was always trying to scare you about the virus. He was always trying to convince you that COVID was what was going to make your life miserable as winter approached. I'm not so sure that that was ever real, but let me tell you a little bit about a dark winter coming. I just heard, you know, before the show started, a finance guy talking about how it was going to be necessary. And just so we all understand this, I know that you do, as we hurtle toward a very important election in November, understand that economically what Democrats are doing is truly setting us up for a dark winter. I don't like being pessimistic and glum and downbeat, particularly at the end of a week here, but I have to be honest with you. You're starting to hear economists and finance people say we have to purge jobs in order for this thing to start to ease. And the economy right now shows no sign of purging jobs, but job loss is going to have to come. And we're already in a labor market where, I mean, everywhere you look, there's still plenty of hiring going on. Economists are saying there is no avoiding this. Until people stop expanding and growing and hiring, this inflationary period we're in won't even begin to ease. And we're going to have to be driven, continually driven, deeper into a recession. Of course, there's some sort of academic disagreement, I don't know why, as to whether or not we're in a recession. When you get multiple quarters of negative economic growth, which we've been in, three, I believe, was the specific working definition most of our lives. We're in one now. But for some reason, political, as you understand, there are some people who call themselves economists today who don't want to use the recession word. So whatever, neither here nor there. Most people, you can't find anybody who doesn't believe we're hurtling toward one if they don't believe we're already in one. And this story today, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg announced at his weekly Q&A session, the company plans to decrease budgets across most teams and cut staff for the first time. Meta. This is Facebook, folks, and Instagram. A person in attendance at the session told Bloomberg that Zuckerberg said Meta will freeze hiring and restructure some teams to cut expenses. He said the company will likely be smaller next year than it is this year. Budgets cut for most teams, including those that are growing. But individual teams will decide how to implement changes in the number of staff. That could happen by not replacing employees who leave the company, moving people to other teams, or seeking to manage out those who are not succeeding. Zuckerberg said, quote, "I hoped the economy would have more clearly stabilized by now. But from what we're seeing, it doesn't yet seem like it has. So we want to plan somewhat conservatively." He said the hiring freeze is necessary because leaders want to ensure they don't hire people to teams where they don't expect to have positions next year. Interesting quote from Zuckerberg, is it not? "I'd hope the economy would have more clearly stabilized by now." But from what we're seeing, that doesn't seem to have happened. So we're going to plan conservatively. Meanwhile, mortgage rates continue to surge, now to 6.7%, more than double since last year. That's on a 30-year fixed mortgage. 6.7% Thursday is what it jumped to. Data from Freddie Mac, 30-year fixed mortgage, jumped almost half a percent from a week ago. A year ago, the rate was 3%. It's also the highest it has been since July 2007, when the subprime mortgage crisis was in its early stages. While the Federal Reserve recently hiked interest rates between 3 and 3.25%, that's the highest since 2008. The mortgage rate is not yet, or is not directly tied to the Fed, but rather the 10-year Treasury bond, blah, blah, blah. Not good. What are the Democrats talking about? Well, you know what they're talking. They're still trying, as I warned you when the week began. Democrats see an opportunity to exploit death and destruction to excite their Florida, their voters in a hurricane in Florida. That's what they see. Democrats see a hurricane as an opportunity to message for a political season. How sick. It's the same thing about weaponizing the FBI against political opponents. You're raiding the homes of pro-life families, homeschool kids. This excites the Democrat base. This is their hope. Grooming your children. Drag queens in public schools. This stuff excites Democrats. So does infanticide. They love killing babies. These are fundraising, get out the vote opportunities for them. Think of what the Democrats are talking about right now. Celebrating hurricanes, championing infanticide, cheering, raiding homes of pro-life Christian homeschoolers, cheering the FBI storming into former presidents' homes. This is what Democrats get excited about, while normal Americans are concerned about the ever-increasing price of food, what it costs to get a home mortgage out there. Gas prices are going up, and they will most certainly continue to go up. That's what normal Americans get concerned about. Ron DeSantis says this flooding from Hurricane Ian is the worst kind of flooding in 500 years. This is an exceptional 500-year event. Which, of course, the American left points to and say, see, that's why you have to elect us. Because these storms are so bad. We went through this yesterday. You know all this by now. The frequency of hurricanes has decreased, as a matter of fact. And as a frame of reference, the intensity of storms, how long we've been tracking the intensity of storms, we haven't done it. We haven't done that for even 100 years. Democrats were also quick yesterday to, these shrill harpies at The View, you've already heard from them before, but they continued on this. Democrats are very, very successful. They're so happy that Ron DeSantis is talking to Joe Biden and that there's discussion of the federal government coming in to help. Claire McCaskill, former senator from Missouri. Loathsome human being. I mean, she always was. She used to pretend that she was some centrist Democrat from Missouri when she was in office. She was a hard and fast, true leftist Obama acolyte. Now she's a paid MSNBC contributor on Morning Joe. They always take opportunities like this to celebrate government. And you see now Ron DeSantis and Floridians everywhere have their hands out, desperate for government help. McCaskill said, yeah, and when we're in devastating tornadoes in southwest Missouri, a very Republican area, you saw those party lines fall away. The one thing I do hope, Joe, to put a little politics into this, yeah, to put a little, it's all they do, Democrats, we're all praying for the people of Florida. We hope the devastation is not deadly. I actually don't believe you. You know, Grandpa went out there yesterday to FEMA and said, this is going to be the most deadly hurricane in history. I was like, how the hell does he even know that? They haven't even been able to get into areas to see who's fled or not. He declared, I found that very telling. That press conference from Biden yesterday was gross. He declared this was going to be, he was just confident, the most deadly hurricane ever. Rescue crews hadn't even got to a lot of neighborhoods yet. They have no idea who's in there and who's not. Was it deadly? Of course, every hurricane is. How deadly? Historically deadly? How could he possibly know that? Doesn't matter. He wants to leave you with the impression this is the worst it's ever been. Going to be the deadliest it's ever been. Then he goes on to say, and another thing, I want you oil companies and you gas companies, you better not be raising prices. I don't want to hear anything about raising prices. He was so concerned yesterday that this hurricane is going to cause prices at the pump to go up, and he doesn't want the blame. And so, like a true demagogue, he goes running out there and declares right away, if you see a fluctuation in gas prices, don't you let them tell you it's because of the instability of the markets in this hurricane. Why, I know for a fact. I've talked to my people. That's what he said. My experts tell me this is not a big deal. It's not going to interrupt the flow of gas, and you'd better not. He keeps talking to people who run gas stations as though they control this stuff. You people that own gas stations, you'd better not gouge. You oil companies, you better not gouge. So he's basically telling you that he knows gas prices are going to go up, but he doesn't want to be blamed. So he's already making the bogeyman big oil and gas station owners. They're out there trying to screw you and take advantage of a storm when there's no justifiable reason whatsoever that the market should be upset. Take a listen to a little of this. This was probably, I mean, there's a lot to be infuriated by this press conference, but this was the one that just irked me the most. Take a listen.
I also want to say again to the oil and gas executives, do not use this storm as an excuse to raise gasoline prices or gouge the American public. The price of oil has dropped in recent weeks. The price of gas should be going down as rapidly. It's not.
Should be.
My experts inform me the production of only about 160,000 barrels a day has been impacted by this storm. That's less than 2% of our country's daily production. Its small and temporary impact on oil production provides no excuse. No excuse for price increases at the pump, period. If a gas station companies try to use this storm to raise prices, I'm going to ask officials to look into whether or not price gouging is going on.
Yeah.
America's
yeah.
watching.
Yeah.
And the industry should do the right thing. I expect
That's
them to
right.
do the right thing.
Do the, yeah, yeah. Market forces be damned. I'm watching you. You know, first of all, the way he talks about gas station companies, it's so unintelligible. You gas station companies, we're watching you. And another threat. It's another threat. If the price fluctuates at all, I'm watching you. I'm threatening you. You'd better not. My experts tell me there's no reason anything should be interrupted. So we're watching. And if anything happens to prices, if they go up even a tick, we're going to investigate you. You'd better not. We're watching. Another threat. So Claire McCaskill continues on with Mika Brzezinski and says that we're all praying the devastation is not deadly. We're glad for the cooperation. But when it's all over, I hope some of those Floridians who hate the federal government remember that the federal government is there for them in a time of disaster. Okay, first of all, The federal government's response to disasters is what all Americans expect from their federal government. Provide for the common defense. Promote the general welfare. This is the function of the federal government. Defending, protecting, aiding, helping in emergencies, in extraordinary situations. Defending our borders. Defending our national sovereignty. Defending our liberties and rights. Leaving us alone. This is so sick. Yeah, well, I hope you people are grateful. And she said the same. It's so funny. You know, Missourians tossed her out on her ass because nobody wanted her anymore. She was a radical leftist. Leftists and Missourians weren't. So they replaced her with. And this irritates Claire McCaskill more than anything. She was replaced by Josh Hawley, of all people. And she's still smarting from that election. So she's mad at her fellow Missourians because she throws that in there. Yeah, you know, when we saw devastating tornadoes in Southwest Missouri, which were years ago. You know, when we saw that, that sure seemed to tear down those party lines, those Rube Hick MAGA Republicans in my home state. Yeah, they sure went with their hat in hand when the tornadoes hit. Then all of a sudden they love the federal government. Well, same to you Floridians. I hope you idiot MAGA Republicans who have all gone running down there celebrating DeSantis, trying to flee our clutches. I hope you know who you're asking for help from now. The federal government. That's right. Mika Brzezinski. Right. Absolutely. I think the reason why the editorial board even raised the question, we're in a time, I'll say this very carefully, certain things that should be hands down, we're all on the same side of this. I could bring up January 6th. You would think anybody who looks at the world would call it violence, yet there are partisan disagreements on January 6th. I think that raises the bar here, makes it more difficult. I don't even know what she's babbling about. What does that have to do with? She invokes January 6th during hurricane relief? I got a warning for those gas companies. You'd better not raise prices. Yeah, well, Americans are watching. Don't use this hurricane as an excuse to fundraise and gaslight. But of course you are. They're using a hurricane to celebrate the federal government. Ha ha ha. Take that, DeSantis. You're not strong enough to weather a storm by yourself. Now you need the federal government's help. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, that's right. And if there's anybody in the market that makes anything more expensive, I'm watching you and I'm coming after you.
Isn't that an irony? They're celebrating the federal government's coming into the aid of Floridians. At the same time, they're using, yet again, the bully pulpit of the federal government to beat the hell out of the private sector if there's any kind of market price fluctuation. They're such thugs. Climate change. How about disposable income change? In November, that's what I'm voting for. Disposable income change. Not climate change. I'm voting for investment change. 401k change. Not climate change. I'm voting for safety change. I'm going to vote for border control change. I'm going to, you know, instead of climate change, I'm going to vote for supply chain change. I'm certainly going to vote for education change. You want to talk about what kind of change motivates me in November? Not climate change. Education change moves me. Our kids not being indoctrinated. Personal liberty change. Which political party is providing better guidance and policy recommendations at this hour? Which one? All they can do is sit back and smugly say, tee-hee-hee-hee, well, pretty ugly storm. Looks like now you need our help. Ha, ha, ha. That's the official Democrat line? What a sales pitch. Oh, so you've been bitching and moaning about us kicking in the door of Christians' homes and terrorizing their families in the dark of the early morning. Don't like us very much, huh? Oh, well, now a hurricane hit. I guess you need us, huh? By the way, nice gas station. Better not raise prices. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. They're such abusive thugs. The Democrat Party are abusive, manipulative, gaslighting thugs. And speaking of climate change, by the way, as long as Democrats own beachfront property or fly on private jets, you and I don't have a damn thing to worry about when it comes to climate change. When Democrats actually start fearing the climate and climate change, you're going to know it because they're going to sell their beachfront property right away. But until that happens, climate change is a complete hoax. It's a complete lie. It's a power grab like everything else the Democrats do. I'm looking at you, Barack Obama, Martha's Vineyard. 610-850-0990, the number. 610, they're just, these people are the worst. They really are. 610-850-0990. New polling data out there suggests the rest of the country is waking up to just that fact. I'll share it with you coming up.
It's Mike Gallagher. Join me this morning at 9 on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Now let's get you back to Philadelphia's Morning Answer with the great Chris DeGaulle.
have some friends that go to Sanibel Island every year. They just love it there. And some of the pictures there from there and Fort Myers, that's just, it is. I mean, where that thing hit the hardest, it hit, and I mean hit it hard. I mentioned to you that I've got a great friend who's just to the north of this eye wall, south of Tampa, but north of kind of where the eye wall hit. And he said a couple of small downed trees, not even downed. They were able to upright them, no real damage, never even lost power. And he's about 6 miles inland from the coast, just a bit north of where the eye wall struck. So the power of this thing was highly, highly concentrated. But where it was concentrated, man, it was devastating. Anyway, telephone number. It's also Open Line Friday around these parts. You know, on Friday, we do it the way Rush used to do it, as a tribute to him because we miss him. We open the phones and let you call about whatever you want to call and talk about. It doesn't have to be something I'm discussing. It can be something out of left field entirely. As Rush used to say, it was a major career risk he took, handing the show over to rank amateurs. But if there's something on your mind today and you want to weigh in, we loved that. And you come on in at 610-850-0990. 610-850-0990. Again, it could be anything you want to talk about. Something we haven't gotten to, something you wanted to add to from earlier in the week if I haven't talked about it yet, or you wanted to say something more, whatever you got. From Trafalgar, new information, new data today. This is consistently one of the most dependable pollsters out there. The majority of likely general election voters would support a Republican candidate over the Democrat on a generic congressional ballot. This polling, this polling was just released yesterday. The poll found that of 1,000 likely general election voters surveyed. Now, again, 1,000 likely general election voters. That means people who will certainly turn out and vote. Not adults, not Americans, not registered voters. Not people breathing out, in and out. These are people that are likely to turn out. That matters. 51.3% said they would vote for the generic Republican candidate. That's up from 47.2% in last month's Trafalgar poll. By contrast, only 45.6% of the respondents said they would vote for the generic Democrat. There were 3% of respondents who said they were unsure for whom they would vote in this election. Trafalgar Group sampled a likely general election voter group in just this week with a 2.9% margin of error. They have a 95% confidence level. They know what they're talking about here. While Democrats are nearly 6 points behind Republicans, this poll also sampled more Democrats than Republicans and independents. That's also key here. So this is even Democrat heavy in their polling. In recent weeks, Democrats and establishment media have been attempting to hype Democrats' hopes of retaining their majority in the House and Senate. But Joe Biden's polling is a bellwether for midterm election outcomes, and it runs counter to the media's narrative. The same Trafalgar Group poll showed Biden's approval is underwater with a majority of Americans, 55.7% saying they disapprove of this president, only 39% approve. In fact, despite Democrats' hopes, Real Clear Politics' generic congressional ballot shows Republicans have surged past Democrats by 1% after the latest polls have been added. So again, they have 95% confidence in their data points. So what does this tell me? Well, this tells me, Republicans, feel free to speak factually and bluntly to voters. Assume that you're speaking to a majority of voters who align themselves with conservative views. I mean, hell, Mark Zuckerberg even used the word conservative. We're going to run our company conservatively. We're going to start scaling back, paring back. I'm looking ahead at the economy. It doesn't appear to be improving. We're going to start running this company more lean and conservatively. So embrace reality. If it's good enough for Mark Zuckerberg, who helped rig the elections for this old fossil that we're living under now, if he's saying it, Republican candidates, you can say it. Embrace reality. Assume you're speaking to a majority of voters who align with you. Reality is your friend now. It's that easy. It's that basic. All right. 610-850-0990. Oh, this... Heartbreaking news this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure all of you are going to be losing sleep this weekend as we learn that Trevor Noah. Victoria, you're a young person. Victoria in today for Fast Eddie. You're a younger person than me. I think by definition you would technically be considered a millennial. True?
I am. Okay. I was born in 1994, which is 2 years before the cutoff date, apparently.
Born in 94. Okay.
Yes.
Trevor Noah. When I say to you Trevor Noah, do you know who he is?
Absolutely.
What does he do?
He's a non-funny comedian.
He hosts? Do you know?
He does. I know some friends and things that follow his.
But I mean, do you know the show he hosts?
I do.
What is it?
Oh, what's it called? Wait, oh gosh. Is it something? Oh my gosh.
So you're proving my point.
No, but I knew that it's called Something with Trevor Noah. It's not worth remembering, Chris.
No, listen, you don't know how you've helped the host here. You've inadvertently helped me do my job today. You're making my point. You have no idea.
But my friends like him, so I see some of the videos, you know, on the social media feed being shared, you know.
Well, he's quitting.
Yeah. Oh, great.
And I knew you. See, you're a millennial, and if you're not going to miss him because you don't even know what he does, then this proves my point more than I ever could on my own.
He's a poor man's Bill Maher.
That's right. Trevor Noah, host of The Daily Show for the past 7 years, announced last night he'll be leaving the show. He's the latest late-night comedian to depart amid a general ratings slump in the post-Donald Trump era. You see, this just proves that they have never, ever, ever been able to be funny without Donald Trump. They don't, and they never were. Look, I think Jon Stewart actually was very talented, because I don't think Jon Stewart at his core had a deep, deep reverence for the Democrat Party. He voted Democrat, but I don't think he actually respected many politicians. The one thing Jon Stewart had in common with most of us is he was not reverential of most politicians. He thought they were mostly all full of crap. And while, yes, he still voted Democrat when it was all said and done, it wasn't the throne-sniffing gross stuff that you see out of most of these hosts today, like Colbert and Trevor Noah. So they were never funny and never good at it. And nobody even cares that this guy has now quit. 38-year-old Noah surprised fans and the studio audience by announcing his departure in the final segment of Thursday's show. "It's been amazing," Noah said, describing his gratitude for hosting the show. "After 7 years, my time is up." 7 years. Noah, with few exceptions, has been a reliable megaphone for the progressive left. As such, he offered little that was fresh or different from other late-night comedians. Leaving Fox News' Greg Gutfeld to exploit a neglected market and soar in the ratings. Mainstream political comedy has suffered since the Barack Obama era, when comedians preferred to mock the Republican opposition rather than taking on the left's messianic president. The advent of wokeness in Hollywood and on college campuses has also damaged comedy in general. Only a brave few like Chappelle, Gervais, Gutfeld, and among a handful of others dare to challenge left-wing progressive orthodoxy. I've been writing about this for years, the death of comedy. It's sad. There are only a handful that are still committed to doing truthful comedy, speaking truth to power, and just being funny. Bill Burr comes to mind as one who's outstanding. So without Donald Trump to kick around, he's hanging it up. They don't have the staying power. They're not entertainers. They're pundits with trained SEAL laugh lines. You know, people to applaud and make them feel, they're horribly unfunny. And you know what exposed them the most? COVID. When they didn't have live audiences and they were trying to Zoom in their comedy, what a time. That's going to be documented someday in the annals of entertainment history. That period of time will be analyzed, and that will just prove the point that so many people who have been handed shows claiming to be variety show hosts and comedy hosts, that may have exposed those people in ways you and I never could have on our own. Take away their trained clapping seals, their applause signs. Oof, it was rough. All right, 610-850-0990. Sam's in Willow Grove. Sam, glad you called. Good morning. Welcome to Open Line Friday.
Good morning, Chris. Great show again. So, you know, I was just telling your Victoria there, I never did a poll before, and I always kind of was skeptical. But then I got polled the other day. It was a 20-minute poll. It all started out very general about, you know, my standing on Democrats, Republicans, you know, which way I lean, and what my answer. Then it turned to PA with Mastriano and Schumer, is it? And then Oz and Fetterman. And all the questions, Chris, heavily leaned to being negative towards Republicans. Each time they painted this grand picture of the Democrat and this negative picture of the Republican. I called the garage. How do you expect anyone to answer fairly? I mean, you're literally trying to get me to, you know, lean my question towards Democrat. I said, how do you expect
this pollster's questioning was all kind of leading you to suggest the Democrats were great, Republicans were bad, kind of trying to tip the scales in the answer.
Yes. And I called the girl out. She said, no, that's not what we're trying to do. I said, no, it's not what you're trying to do. It's what you're doing. And she got all a little huffy with me, and we finished the thing. And, you know, but it kind of made me look at polls in a different light. And that was after I took part. Wow. You know, they were just basically trying to get me to answer Fetterman with every question, you know.
Had you ever participated in a poll? By the way, did they call you up on the cell phone, or how did that work?
They called my landline.
Ah, okay. You still have one.
In my house. I do. It's the last one. I got a rotary phone, too. It's the last one.
Well, here's the thing. You're kind of rare you participated at all, no matter how they reached you. A lot of people screw with them. They'll lie to them. They won't participate at all, but you decided to play it straight and try to do the...
I did.
Did they identify who they were with?
I don't recall. It was government something. I don't recall the full name. I don't.
Okay.
I wish I did. I knew that when I was hold on hold. I was like, I wish I knew the whole name.
See, now here's the thing, though. These pollsters, if they're not playing it straight, and if they're trying for some kind of short-term gain to make a news story out of this, ultimately, then, a guy like you, even if you're kind of, you know, shoved to answer a question a way you're not inclined to answer it naturally, if that doesn't turn out come election day, they're going to look like jackasses down the road, if they're trying to maintain any shred of integrity after election day, anyway.
Yeah, I agree with
right?
that.
Right? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely brought them to light, made me look at them in a different way, for sure. It's after I took part in one. But
thank you, Sam.
Mention that.
I'm glad you called. Be well. Have a great weekend. 610-850-0990. Speaking of polls, Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman, in this latest report from The Hill, they say he has a 4-point edge over Oz. It's a new Fox News survey. Fox News poll conducted last week. Now, this is of registered Pennsylvania voters. Class, what have I told you about registered voters versus what we just talked about with Trafalgar, likely voters? This is a difference. Fox News keeps floating these pro-Democrat polls out, and it's very frustrating. Fox News should know better. And every single poll on Pennsylvania that Fox News trots out there, it has always been of registered voters. Registered, 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 registered. That doesn't tell me anything. I have a friend just outside of Pittsburgh who's a registered voter. He's voted exactly twice in his adult life. He's in his 50s. What were the two times? When Donald Trump was on the ballot. So polling registered voters means you could be talking to my friend who's voted only twice in his entire life since being of age to vote. The only time he was interested in voting was for Donald Trump. So you poll registered voters out there, that doesn't tell you anything. What's their likelihood of actually showing up and voting in November? Always, sorry to sound like a broken record here, but there are always new people happening across the show who don't know this. So when you read these polls, always look first. Scan. It's usually always at the very bottom of the story. The splashy headline that they want out of the poll is always first. The leading couple of paragraphs is always first. Here's what we found. Here's the data points that confirm our bias headline. You go all the way to the bottom, though, and that's where you'll always see tucked in there who they actually surveyed. It's always like the second to last or last paragraph. Fox News poll conducted September 22nd to the 26th and surveyed 1,008 registered Pennsylvania voters. The second you see registered, throw it out. Dismiss it. And by the way, I would even say a lot of these likely voter polls I would dismiss, to Sam's point. people are playing fast and loose with these now. They're trying to get outcomes. And a lot of people, a lot of you who answer these things, if in fact you're willing to, you screw with them. You lie. Make them think you're going to vote Democrat. I think there's a lot of that. Remember the submerged vote. Trafalgar has also studied this. He thinks there's a lot of people out there telling pollsters they're going to vote for Democrats. Or, oh, no. I don't like Oz or I don't like Trump. But then they end up voting their interests in secret later. They'll never tell you or admit they voted Republican. But anyway, Oz within a statistical margin of error here. Even with registered voters.
We are Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Now, more of Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle.
All right, open line Friday around here today, 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. Still to come, the Pennsylvania House Select Committee came to Philadelphia yesterday and had some hearings. What came of them? They did get some media coverage out of it. Some local media even covered it. Even 6ABC covered it. But interestingly, the Democrats were ready, and they brought out costumed people, people on stilts. They made it look like a, ha-ha, get it, circus. They had music playing, people in costumes, guys on stilts, people in animal costumes, and they were dancing around down there at the Navy Yard in front of these hearings. And some of the media were covering it, saying, oh, boy, isn't this amusing? Ha, 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 ha. Look at this, a circus. Well, is it a circus? I mean, it's not a circus to Philadelphians. 14 and 16-year-olds shot while walking down a Philadelphia street. This is my latest story from Fox 29. Authorities say two young teenagers shot while walking down the street by a gunman who got out of the vehicle. Intersection of 54th and Willow Street around 5 o'clock. Police found a 16-year-old boy shot once in the side of the head, a 14-year-old suffering from a gunshot wound to the body. The older teen was brought to Penn Presbyterian Hospital, placed in critical condition, 14-year-old expected to recover. Captain John Walker said investigators believe the teens were innocently walking down the street when someone got out of a vehicle and opened fire. No arrest reported immediately following the double shooting. Captain John Walker said, it's frustrating, it's hard for us all, but we got to continue to push forward. He called on parents to help by stepping up to have tougher conversations about what a gun is and what a gun means. When you fire guns, it's going to have devastating results. As parents, we have responsibility to handle our children. Police identified a 73-year-old man who was struck and killed by a hit-and-run driver in the Mayfair section of Philadelphia, same section of town where, right there, as he was crossing Frankfurt Ave. 20-year-old man driving a gold Honda Pilot, traveling eastbound, undoubtedly speeding. He came to a stop at a stop sign, then he made a left turn going northbound, struck a 73-year-old pedestrian. Then he continued to drive over the victim and fled the scene. That 73-year-old man died. The driver ended up surrendering to police Wednesday night. It's a hellscape. And what did the Democrats do in response to it? They put on a little costume show while Republicans were holding hearings on this yesterday. So we will talk with one of the state representatives involved in these hearings. Torrin Ecker was there. He represents parts of Adams County, parts of Cumberland County in Pennsylvania. It's the 193rd district. He was there. We'll talk with him about it. D is calling from Bethlehem. D, I am sure glad you called. Welcome in to Open Line Friday. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
So I'm a Democrat, and I'm sitting out for the vote for the Senate because anyone's better than Fetter. I mean, seriously, we have the worst candidate. He is so impulsive. He ran after somebody with a loaded gun. I believe it was racially motivated. He screams and yells at whenever he talks. Well, he doesn't give any debates, but he does scream and yell when he does do anything. He can't dress himself and says that represents me, and I wonder if he's capable. Because he really can't think either.
All right, Dee, now hang on. I am not questioning your integrity, but you and I don't think I've ever met before, and I just want people listening in. I don't want anybody to think I've set you up or that you're some kind of ringer. You have called me, and I have to trust you. You say you are a Democrat voter, you're a registered Democrat, and you are just not going to participate in the Senate race. Is that right?
I'm not, because the DNC needs to start giving us better candidates. We have a president who is looking for deceased people in the audience. He's doing some great things and some things that aren't great. So, you know, I'm 50-50 on that right now, what's the job he's doing. But Fetterman, okay. What has he done?
May I ask you, first of all, thank you sincerely for calling and for listening. I'm so thrilled that you do. And you're going to offer me some perspective here that I wouldn't ordinarily get. So thank you. Are you telling me that other than Fetterman, you intend to vote for Democrats up and down the line on your ballot in November?
At this point, I've only looked into Congress and Senate, and I think I'm not a hardcore Democrat. I'm not a hardcore Republican. I'm a human being.
Sure.
You know,
I really want to be clear. I'm not in the least bit antagonistic with you here. I'm genuinely just on a fact-finding mission with you, and I really appreciate your honesty.
I'm a registered Democrat. Yes, this is true. Okay. I am a registered Democrat who's sitting out for the Senate because I just can't see myself voting for Oz. They should have picked a candidate who is truly a Pennsylvanian, and that is on Trump. You had a sure ringer in there. Had you picked a qualified candidate who's truly a Pennsylvanian, because Fetterman just is not it. Not for Pennsylvania.
Just because I want to frame a reference here, did you participate in the last couple of election cycles for president?
Absolutely.
May I ask for whom you voted?
No.
Okay. May I ask you this? Did you ever vote for Donald Trump?
Wouldn't that be the same question?
At any point, either election, first or second time, are you willing to say?
No.
Okay. Have you ever voted for a Republican president in history since you've been voting?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. You have. Just okay. Good enough. So how about the gubernatorial race? Will you be voting Mastriano or Shapiro?
That's a hard choice for me. I'm still looking into their policies on education. I want to verify what the news is saying. I'm still looking on their policies for gun control. Still looking on what they're saying there. So I have a lot of research to do on that yet. I spent a lot of time on this.
Can I just assess who... I don't have a ton of time left, but in fact, I don't know what your schedule looks like. You're an interesting person that I hate to hang up with or be up against the clock and a break on. I don't know what your schedule looks like this morning. I might have to hold you over, but let me ask you this. Demographically speaking, are you... Do you have children?
I do, yeah.
Are they of school age or grown?
Yes, no school age.
Okay. And you're married?
Yes.
Okay. Is your husband, do you and your husband share politics, or are you divergent?
No, not at all.
You do not share politics with your husband at all?
Oh, we share politics, but we don't share sides on them. He will be voting for Oz, I believe.
So your husband's a hardline Republican voter.
Down the Republican line. Yeah, he's pretty much that way, yeah.
Okay. But you will entertain a Democrat. Now let me ask you this, if you don't mind, because this is just fascinating to me. What is the, if you're going to vote on one issue, if I said name for me the most important issue to you as you vote this fall, it would be what? No wrong answer.
The way children are treated. So that has to do with not just education. It has to do with, you know, what has been your standing policy on the protection of children, because they are our future.
Yes. So are your kid? Do you have kids in public school, I assume?
Yep.
Does the school curriculum issue rise to a concern of your level or no?
As long as it isn't presenting anything contrary to our belief system, then I'm fine with it. And thus far, I am fine with it.
So like the critical race theory, gender stuff, does that bug you or no?
I actually have not seen that in our school, so.
Okay. Okay. Are you, and you say you, do you live in Bethlehem or that region? Is that about right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah. A fairly traditional
I'm
school
driving
district.
To work.
kind of your vibe there?
Excuse me?
I said a fairly traditional school system is what you're saying there.
I believe it is, you know, even, you know, representative of everybody.
Dee, I got to run to break here.
This is WNTV Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. For more than a decade, he's been your destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Chris, good morning. Love your show. You and Eddie are the dynamic duo.
I have a very hard time finding any news source that I can trust, so I'm very grateful to have this listened to on the way to work.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Listen, I was sincere in my conversation with Dee. I really was, and I hope that Dee knew that and understands that. I don't know how regular a listener she is. If you are just joining us and you weren't with us, it's Open Line Friday here today, folks. We do it as an homage to Rush, who we miss every day. Telephone number 610-850-0990 if there's something on your mind, if there's a story or an issue that you'd like to tackle or I haven't gotten to or you'd like to add to from the week. Today's your day. We do this as Rush used to do it. Chance for you to weigh in on whatever is on your mind. But during the tail end of last hour, if you're just here, you missed what I thought was a great call. And people like Dee are really very interesting to me. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not. She's a woman from Bethlehem. She says that her husband is a straight line Republican voter. She is a registered Democrat. I asked her if she voted for Trump either time. She didn't want to say. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means she did. Victoria, how did you take that? Did that mean, do you think, and Dee didn't want to hang around? And I get it. Like, maybe she was late for work, or maybe she started to feel a little uncomfortable because she wasn't anticipating that I was going to. I was just genuinely trying to get a sense of her thinking, not because I wanted to pick on her in any way. I just wanted to learn. I'm grateful that she listens, and she's clearly an open-minded person who is thinking deeply about how she wants to vote. And as far as I'm concerned, if there are Democrats who want to talk, I want to talk. I just because I don't necessarily agree with them up and down the line doesn't mean I have to be hostile to them. And I'm not, earnestly. So, Dee, I'm grateful, and I mean it, that you called, and I hope that you will stay in touch and continue to give us your perspective, because I want to learn. I want to know what people are thinking. That conversation means more to me than any news story I read today. Truly. If she's a sincere person, and I have no reason to doubt that she is, you know, she said that she's a Democrat, registered, but she's voted for Republicans in the past, and she's not going to participate in the Senate election. She can't stand Fetterman. She's disappointed in the pick, so she's not going to vote. She didn't like Oz either, so she's just not going to vote. I asked her, how about governor? She said she's still got to dig around and research. She did not say, absolutely, Shapiro, which I think is interesting. And as far as I'm concerned, like, I think that's where Republicans ought to be, is talking to people like Dee and trying to make the case cogently as to why they ought to give, why she ought to give them a look. Now, some of you who have been lifelong Republicans and you don't see any other way, I understand why to you it seems like a no-brainer and a slam dunk issue. But to someone like Dee, who's coming around to a different point of view, I think it's great to have that conversation. So I thank her for it. But I was really intrigued when I specifically asked her, have you voted for Trump? She did not want to answer that. And some of you on Twitter, your reaction to her not wanting to answer that, you took that to mean she did, but she's ashamed to say so out loud. Was that how you took that, Victoria?
It got me thinking, but I'm not entirely sure.
I can't say so. I don't know what that meant. I don't know if she didn't. I don't know if she didn't want to say who she voted for because she was afraid I would start fighting with her if she said Hillary, which I wouldn't have. I promise. That wasn't my line of questioning was not to be antagonistic or debate at all. I just was trying to learn. If in fact she voted for Trump and didn't want to say. Also interesting, that proves what Trafalgar was saying in his recent survey, that there are submerged and or what you'd call shy Trump voters, people that did vote for him or would have or have, but don't want to say because they're afraid. Look, if Dee is who she says she is, and I believe that she is, she may hang out with people who hate that guy, and she's afraid of being heard on broadcast radio saying aloud that she voted for a guy that a lot of her friends hate. And this is what, folks, this is what you people that lose your patience with people like Dee need to get through your heads. Screaming and yelling at her is not going to get you anywhere. That's not how you talk with people like Dee. Dee has friends or family that hate Trump's guts. She doesn't see politics their way entirely. She shares some issues with you and me. So badgering and berating Dee, I can't believe you'd see it any other way but voting for Trump. What are you ashamed of? Get out of your gut. Don't, please don't do that. Like, that's not how you convince people. Talk with them about what it is they support about the Republican Party. Like, try to learn what makes people like Dee vote for Democrats at all. Try to learn what makes them hesitant to support Republicans. I mean, if Dee, in fact, ends up filling in the oval for a Republican in November, that vote still counts just as much as anybody else's does. And Republicans need people like Dee. So I think it's important to learn from people like her what makes her tick. She doesn't like Fetterman. She's not going to vote for Fetterman. She's made that abundantly clear. But Oz doesn't float her boat either. She says Oz is just not, she's just not participating. And some of you will say, well, that's just as good as voting for Fetterman. Okay. Maybe. So what's Oz got to do to win her over? Can he? That was one of the things I wanted. I just ran out of time. I could have spent a lot more time with her because I just, you know, I'm curious. I mean, Oz's campaign would be curious. Is there something he could say to win her over? She doesn't know yet how she's going to vote for governor. Is there something Mastriano could do or should do to reach out to her since she's a registered Democrat? He could secure her vote. This is the, these are the people that people, and so, you know, when people get frustrated with, say, Dr. Oz, I get this question a lot. You know, Stigall, you talk about him not really being interested in coming on the show and stuff like that. Do you know why he won't come on a show like this one now? Because he's trying to reach people like Dee. Now, I know that you say, well, yeah, but Dee is listening to your show. True, which is why I think it's a mistake to not appear on a show like this one. But the calculation has been by Republicans for a long time that shows like this one are useful during Republican primaries because it gets people who listen to shows like this one, who are primarily conservative, excited. But once they've secured the Republican nomination, they don't need us anymore because they know we're not going anywhere. They've got our vote, is their calculation. So now they got to go out and work to find people like Dee. And their calculation is coming on shows like mine aren't where the fish are anymore. Now they got to go out and try to look centrist or moderate or whatever. Not too kook fringe MAGA Republican. They got to look like palatable alternatives to Democrats. Look, do I think that's a smart strategy? No, never have. It's always bugged me. But it is what it is, and I deal with reality here. 610-850-0990, the number. 610-850-0990 if you want to weigh in here on Open Line Friday. Did you get this yesterday? The Army's first openly transgender officer indicted yesterday on charges of trying to provide American soldiers medical information to the Russian government. Yes, the first openly transgender officer. A federal grand jury in Baltimore indicted Jamie Lee Henry and his wife. Now, this is written by the Free Beacon, so I think they're guilty here of, I don't speak woke. If I got this right, Victoria, is that misgendering if the Free Beacon calls a transgender woman he?
As your producer, I have to apologize. Is that a certain leaning site that I wasn't aware of?
That's right. The Free Beacon is a conservative site, so I think they're misgendering, aren't they?
Oh, good. Probably.
Yeah.
That's okay.
By the woke's definition, when you say that Jamie Lee Henry, who now says he's a woman, calling him a he, but still married to a woman. That's what's also very interesting. See, this is what I don't... These are questions that I earnestly would like to sit down and ask. So if I went to my wife and said, hey, honey, I don't want to be a dude anymore. Do you mind if I start calling myself a lady? And can we still stay married, though? Like, that's kind of a next level conversation with your wife, isn't it? Well, I didn't really anticipate that I would be married to a guy who wants to be a woman, but okay, sure, you know, till death do us part. Do we need to, like, amend marriage vows now, till death or gender do us part? How about staying married to a guy who says, I now want to call myself a woman and dress as a woman and change my name to a woman, but do you mind if we still stay married? What exactly is that about? And does that, here's the other question. I'm serious. Does that make, if you now identify as a woman, does that make you a lesbian? If you're staying married to a woman. Victoria, you speak woke. You're a millennial in there. Can you help me with the guide? I don't know.
Chris, I'm not woke at all.
Okay, but wouldn't it stand to reason, like, if I'm married to a woman and I now want to be a woman and I want you to call me a woman and address me as a woman, does that, if I stay married to a woman, does that in fact make me now a working lesbian?
I don't actually know. I mean, I know that the Caitlyn Jenner did the same thing, right, for a while. And he was
But I mean, am I a heterosexual if I'm now a woman? I'm gay now, if you, by definition, if I want to be called a woman, am I not?
I think you're right, actually, yeah.
Okay. Because just because I transition to a woman doesn't necessarily mean I'm attracted to women or men, does it? I don't know the wiring. Somebody has to, I don't know what the motherboard situation is at that point. If dudes become women, are they attracted to men? I don't necessarily think that's true, but it also, well, whatever. Anyway, the Army's first openly transgender officer, Jamie Lee Henry, and his wife, Anna Gabriellen, charged with conspiracy and wrongful disclosure of individually identifiable health information, according to prosecutors. The couple met last month with an undercover FBI agent posing as a Russian diplomat, offered medical information from Fort Bragg, the home of the military's elite Delta Force. An anesthesiologist, the wife is, at Johns Hopkins University, told an undercover agent during an August 17th meeting she was, quote, motivated by patriotism toward Russia to provide any assistance she could to Russia, even if it meant being fired or going to jail, according to the indictment. The wife gave the undercover agent medical information on a spouse of someone who works at the Office of Naval Intelligence and highlighted a medical issue that Russia could exploit. The transgender individual in this story, Jamie Lee Henry, is a doctor at Fort Bragg and gave the undercover agent information on 5 patients at the military facility, according to the indictment. Jamie Lee Henry has been praised as a pioneer of the transgender movement after coming out as transgender in an interview with BuzzFeed back in 2015. Henry claimed to be the first known active duty Army officer to come out as transgender and the first legally to change their name while in service. Henry told BuzzFeed his experience transitioning helped him in the medical field. Henry said, I find my trans experience has allowed me to relate to people because all of us suffer, and I could relate to people's suffering. I'm able to comfort people that feel isolated and lost and alone and broken. So, continuing with the proud tradition of stripping our military down to the studs, destroying the finest fighting forces, our national defenses, destroying them and turning them into psychological experiments. Are we shocked that a psychological experiment has made a poor decision and colluded with the Russians? Are we shocked that we turn our military officers into psychological experiments and they make poor decisions that are destructive and subversive? Are we shocked? Over at CNBC, their biggest concern about this story? Using the wrong pronouns. CNBC scrambled to use correct pronouns to cover the trans army officer indicted yesterday. CNBC is so afraid to misgender the trans army officer who tried to give soldiers medical information to Russia, they changed their article 3 times. They updated it to say a U.S. Army major doctor and their physician wife. Then a second change, a U.S. Army major and her physician wife. CNBC wasn't the only one trying to get their pronoun usage right. Reuters had to clarify on Twitter the use of he, his pronouns was supposed to be her when writing the story. How bat crap crazy is this? Here's some audio yesterday on the same subject. A briefing. It was a some White House testimony yesterday. It's very brief. It's a Republican Congressperson, Andrew Clyde, asking Planned Parenthood doctor Bhavik Kumar about men and can men get pregnant. Here was the brief exchange.
And let's just keep it real simple. Just two yes or no questions. And this is for Dr. Kumar. Dr. Kumar, can biological men become pregnant and give birth?
So men can have pregnancies, especially trans men.
Men can have pregnancies, said the Planned Parenthood doctor. Men can have pregnancies, especially trans men. Well, no, only trans men, meaning women who are biologically capable of getting pregnant, who want to call themselves men, they can get pregnant. But no, men can still not get pregnant. And just because I'm a man who now wants to call myself a woman, I still cannot biologically get pregnant. Although there is science being developed out there. I can't remember which guest told me. No, they are diligently working on trying to figure out how to grow a baby, ironically, inside a man. Sincerely, their science is working on it. Apparently, they're getting awfully close to me. And this, isn't this the irony of all ironies? That in a society today with the Democrat Party desperate to kill every baby they can get their hands on. And Democrats do. They want to kill every baby they can. Democrats can't stand pregnancies. They just love killing babies. However, they will work overtime trying to make the case that men can get pregnant. And they will develop science someday that can install babies in men, just so men can have the experience or some such, and push the trans agenda. I mean, to the point, AOC, this is a religion with her, too. Here's what she had to say about the issue yesterday. Number 43, Victoria.
Is that the same folks who tell us and told us that COVID's just a flu, that climate change isn't real, that January 6th was nothing but a tourist visit, are now trying to tell us that transgender people are not real. And I would say that their claim is probably just as legitimate as all their others, which is to say, not very much at all. But moving forward.
Yeah, very. The always intellectually hefty AOC. No one says anything isn't real. The climate does change. That's real. COVID was real. January 6th was an event that happened. That was real. And I believe that transgender people are real. I know that's true. I mean, I meet people who call themselves transgender all the time. I've talked with many. There are a few that even listen to this show. I'm not hostile toward them. I don't hate people that call themselves trans. I don't hate people that believe the climate's changing. I believe it's changing, too, all the time, every day, constantly and always. I believe COVID is a thing that really happened. Where it came from and how deadly it is, we can debate. See, all these things, that's what's so funny with the left. They don't actually want to debate or discuss the merits of any of it. They just want to say, you don't believe it's real. No one says it's not real. I can stare at someone and say, okay, I get it. He now wants me to call him a woman. He's calling himself trans. Okay, I acknowledge that's a real person. Now, do I believe he can become a woman? Do I believe God made a mistake? No, none of that's true. I don't believe that. But that's not what they want to debate. So rather than that, they just say, they want to reject that trans people are real or even human. They don't want to, they deny they exist. I don't deny they exist. It's not like we're talking about Bigfoot here. I know there are plenty of people that are psychologically troubled. That's what it is. This is a psychological issue. This isn't a matter of science. 610-850-09. Oh, Casey wants to weigh in on this. Is that right? Oh, good. Okay, Casey, good. Maybe you can help me with this a little bit because I don't speak trans. I'm learning. I'm not trying to be antagonistic or hostile here. Just trying to learn. Casey, welcome in.
You know, I'm learning too, but I guess for me, I like you said, I actually know trans people too. I've met people who are trans, who, you know, people who are going through that situation in their life, who don't go through all of this confusion, who are being actually made a mockery of. But what I call people who, like, are going to transition and say, well, now I'm still going to sleep with women. I'm going to do this. I call you greedy and trifling. I do, because you know why? Because I, that's your preference, being greedy. Because now you're bringing too much attention. You're bringing so much attention on yourself. You just want to do whatever. But isn't that what the, like, and not all trans people, right? But isn't that what the liberal is? They're liberal, leave. They want to do whatever.
Casey, the interesting thing about this subject, I don't know if you know any gay folks in your life. I know of a few who I've talked to privately about this trans issue. You know who has the biggest issue with this trans thing? Are gay people.
Yeah, I've talked to, yes. Like I said, you have the liberty to live your life how you want to. And that's not what the issue is, but now you're forcing it down children's throat. Many homosexuals have a problem with this.
Yeah, they do, because, well, here's the thing. Like, when you work your whole life, right, if you're a woman who's attracted to other women and you've struggled your whole life to come to terms with that and now start living your life that way, how irritated are you to be told that now women can become men can become women, that there's not a dime's worth of difference between gender? Like, when your entire life is a tortured hell of being attracted to the same sex and you finally come to terms with that, only to be told by the left, there's nothing special about genders. Like, I mean, it kind of negates your entire reality, doesn't it?
It does. That part does for them, because it's like they fought and everything, you know, to do all that, right? And then
yes.
And then they come and they snatch it right back, like, well, that's your privilege. Like,
and it also, and Casey, here's the other thing. Even worse than that, it's the liberal feminist. I do not know how women who vote on women's issues support this even a little bit, that I, as a man, can just become a woman and there's nothing special about being a woman at all. I can just own it and claim it and be it if I want. What does a liberal feminist think about that?
I just don't get it. They're snatching. That's how you say it. Like, nowadays, you see the left, they're eating themselves alive. Seriously, they are, because, like, they're snatching their own platforms off of from up underneath them. So then you get a person like me who's like, I'm a natural born woman. And I'm going to, now I have to be some sort of feminist. I didn't care about these labels, right? But it's like, there's a man, some guy that's like, I could teach you how to be a woman. You know? It makes me mad. Like, what do you mean?
Like, all right, Casey. It's always good to hear from you. I'm so glad that you called. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. That's Casey in Philadelphia. Telephone number on Open Line Friday, 610-850-0990. 610-850-0990. The hearings on Larry Krasner and the violence in Philadelphia came to our backyard in Philadelphia yesterday. We are going to talk with one of the Republicans on the committee hearing about how the day went. Media did cover it, which was the hope of the Republicans, but what's ultimately going to happen, if anything, to Larry Krasner? We will talk with one of the Republican state reps coming up.
Good morning, Philly. This is Dennis Prager, weekday afternoons at 1 on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Now, here's Chris DeGaulle.
How cool is this? Sports fans, Joel Embiid is now an American citizen. I guess I didn't realize he wasn't. Headline from CBS News, proud to be an American. Sixers Joel Embiid is now a United States citizen. Joel Embiid has tried to keep the ruse alive that he was nothing more than a 7-foot couch potato this summer. To hear Embiid tell it, every day was easy, like a lazy Sunday morning. His biggest off-season accomplishment, though, sleep, he said with a laugh on Thursday. The Philadelphia 76ers franchise center might not have been exaggerating about his desire for some R&R. Embiid and his Brazilian girlfriend share a 2-year-old son. That can tucker out even the biggest of men. He was put through rigorous workouts this summer by his longtime personal trainer in Beverly Hills, and there was a pressing personal process. A native of Cameroon, he also holds French citizenship. Embiid was sworn in 2 weeks ago in Philadelphia as an American citizen. Embiid telling the Associated Press yesterday at training camp at the Citadel, I've been here a long time. My son is American. I felt like I'm living here. It's a blessing to be an American. So I said, why not? It's a blessing to be an American. I would love, wouldn't you just love to have dug a little deeper on that with Joel Embiid? I'm sure the members of the media went, oh, crap. All right. Abandon ship. You notice they don't dig deep on stories like that. If Joel Embiid said, you know, this country's rotten to the core and I got real issues, they'd have sat down for an exclusive. They'd have done a wall-to-wall, 1-hour sit down on most cable channels with Joel Embiid. Why is the country so rotten? Joel Embiid says, I took the time and spent the money. It's arduous to become a legal American citizen out there, and I did it because I love the country. It's a great opportunity to be an American. Whoops, skedaddle. That'll do it. That's enough. All right, wrap it up. Thanks, boys. They don't want to explore what he means. I want to hear him talk about why he says that. Don't you? That's awesome. Well, more reason if you needed it to cheer for Joel Embiid and your Sixers. That's a really, really cool story. Congratulations to Joel Embiid. 610-850-0990, the number, 610-850-0990. It's open line Friday around these parts, which means you can call in and talk about whatever you like. We're going to talk with one of the Republicans who was in Philadelphia yesterday holding a hearing on Krasner and the violence in the city coming up, what came from it, if anything, and what will they do? What actions, if any, will they take against Larry Krasner? Frank is in Philadelphia, waiting patiently on open line Friday. Frank, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Hey, Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm well, sir. How are you today?
Awesome. I'm at the airport now, heading away. But
where are you going?
I'm going to Cincinnati.
Ooh, what's going on there?
Yeah, exactly. I'm visiting my kids. It's Father's Weekend at school, so I'm going out there to visit the kids.
Oh, they're at school. That's awesome.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
What are they studying, if you don't mind my asking?
My oldest is going in for computer science engineering, and my middle child wants to be a dentist.
Wow. Now, see, those are both jobs where you actually need real upper-level training and degreed study, right? Did I just lose Frank? All right, let's see if we can't get Frank back. I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean to drop Frank there. All right, Frank, give me a ring back, 610-850-0990. My point to Frank was those are actually two careers where you do physically need to go to college and study and spend the money to get proper training. You'll note Frank did not say, I'm sending my kid away to become a French poetry major or whatever. Oh, we got him back. All right. So Frank, sorry we dropped there. I was just saying that if you're going to spend money, those are actually careers that I think are safe investments. Those will pay off and come back to you, right?
Agreed. Totally agreed.
Not why you called, though. Go ahead, please.
No, my wife and I, you get your mail from the Beacon. We get ours from the UK Daily Mail every day, our news. Mm-hmm. And we were reading the story about the trans officer and his wife. And now my wife's Armenian, and his wife is Armenian, or her wife, or their wife, whatever we call them. And now in the story, she's talking about her love for Russia. And remember, Armenia was a Soviet country. There is no love for Russia there, A. And B, in the story, she talks about, or they talk about how she was going to take her kids to Turkey. And if you know any history of the Armenian people, there is no way she would take her kids through Turkey ever. So I think there's something hokey with the story. I would look a little bit more into it. I think it was, there's something more going on there.
And you think, so you've actually keyed in on the wife being a more questionable person than the trans officer.
Yes, 100%. There's something not right there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And by the way, okay, now you've raised an even more interesting point. So this person has been promoted to a high-ranking military officer, ostensibly because of trans issues or whatever, I guess, or at least, you know, got all kinds of headlines because first trans, right? Big history-making moment. But this underscores, I was actually kind of mocking this yesterday saying, and we wonder, you know, why the military is degraded. I mean, we're elevating people with psychological disorders to military officership. But setting that aside, this clearly shows that in terms of background checks and screenings, this person promoted to military officer has you've just raised some surface level anecdotal objections to this woman's existence as this person's wife. Never mind what she was up to when they caught her.
Right. And you know, my wife had clearance. She worked for a defense contractor, and it is very difficult to get clearance. And for him to be an officer, he'd have to, there'd be a lot of vetting going on. And I'm not sure how that worked with her. I'm not sure how he was able to get the clearance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, trans trumps all, right? Just like the good admiral. We have an admiral now, you know, from Pennsylvania, who's neither an admiral nor a woman, Dr. Rachel Levine.
Exactly. It's a picture
it's
of
crazy.
Health. The picture
Franks.
Of the picture of health.
Yeah, safe travels out there, my man. My best to your kids.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
That's Frank on his way to the airport. Oh, incidentally, yesterday, J.D. Power and Associates came out with the airport rankings yesterday. Second worst airport in the country, right behind Honolulu. You want to guess what it is? Where Frank's headed today, PHL. Philadelphia International Airport ranked second worst in the country. And I can confirm that as a guy who travels through it often. And it's really not even, I mean, in terms of like the shops they offer, the food they offer, the stuff they offer, I'm not like unhappy with the airport in terms of the services offered. I am miserably unhappy with the, if you want to call it customer service at that airport, the worst. I've never waited anywhere longer for a bag anywhere in the country. If you do any flying with any regularity and you check a bag, which that's why a lot of people hate checking bags. You know, they'll cram everything into an overhead bag if they can do it. I just don't like to screw around with bags. I like to get on a plane and be as empty-handed as possible. And which, you know, is fine almost everywhere except for when I return to Philadelphia, because I'll stand at that baggage carousel and wait for what feels like a day. And you're always, it's a bit of Russian roulette. You're always just praying the bag actually spits out at all. So, yeah. Anyway, telephone number 610-850-0990. It's open line Friday. Josh Shapiro, this from the post-millennial, the guy, the Democrat, the current attorney general who wants a promotion, wants to be governor of Pennsylvania. Post-millennial reminding us that Josh Shapiro advocated to allow students to use bathrooms that align with their gender identity, not their biological sex. This is all while he's been the state's attorney general. This guy, who is as progressive and left-wing and radical as any of the progressive left-wing radical Democrats today, think AOC, think the squad, think Chuck Schumer, think Nancy Pelosi. He is every bit the left-winger. He is not some mainline Montgomery County moderate. And some in this audience have been fired up and shouting at me about this, firing off these stories, reminding me of this and that. And it's almost impossible to remember an 8-year tenure in which, yes, he did govern as one of the hardest of hardcore left-wingers. He sued to keep businesses closed during COVID. He stood alongside every single move Tom Wolf and John Fetterman made. He stood right alongside it and legally protected and defended it. He's done nothing to rid the city of Philadelphia's violent crime problem or Larry Krasner. He said nothing about any of it publicly. And on top of all of that, yes, he stands with radical policies like this. In 2019, Shapiro filed a brief in the case Gavin Grimm alongside attorneys general from 22 states seeking to force the Gloucester County School Board to let Grimm use the bathroom that matches Grimm's gender identity and for the school to change the gender marker on Grimm's school records to match Grimm's birth certificate, which had been legally changed. Notably, the brief states that in states allowing transgender students to use bathrooms corresponding to their gender identity, public schools have reported no instances of transgender students harassing others in restrooms or locker rooms. This brief filed in 2019, nearly 2 years before the events of Loudoun County, Virginia. So Shapiro has been a leader in advocating shoving biological males into commingling, cohabitating, locker room, competing against biological females. Shapiro has been on the leading edge of this before Loudoun County became a flashpoint. Think of that. Remember, biological male student arrested for raping a girl in a female restroom in Loudoun County. 2 years before that event, Josh Shapiro was championing this issue. Shapiro, part of another brief filed in 2021 after the Loudoun County rape, alongside the attorneys general for 22 states and the District of Columbia, once again requesting biological females be allowed to use male restrooms. The brief filed in support of somebody called Drew Adams, banned from using the men's restroom in school, against the school board of St. Johns County, Florida. So Josh Shapiro has consistently signed on with other attorneys general, not even in Pennsylvania, in championing this idea that biological boys and biological girls should be forced to commingle, cohabitate, share locker rooms, share restrooms, and compete against one another. He has tried to legally force this issue through his office of attorney general. Even when it has not pertained to Pennsylvanians, he signed on with activist attorneys general of other states. That's how radical this guy is. And he's getting away with this moderate sales pitch crap. And I'm telling you, the Mastriano campaign and Republicans writ large have got to start talking about Josh Shapiro being the radical that he is. Josh Shapiro is not a damned moderate. If you look at John Fetterman and you look at Tom Wolf and you look at the Democrat Party and you say, wow, they're out there, I don't identify with them, and then somehow look at Josh Shapiro and say, yeah, but he's reasonable, he's moderate, he's a kind guy, he's not like them. Oh, no. He's actually worse than a lot of them. He's actually willing to go to an extent that a lot of the others can't or haven't. He's willing to use the full power of the attorney general and his office to legally force biological males into the locker rooms of your daughters at school. He's willing to use the office of attorney general to force your daughters to compete against biological males in school sports. Josh Shapiro is using the power of the attorney general's office in Pennsylvania to flex his muscles to force that to happen. So that makes him more radical and more extreme than other Democrats. Josh Shapiro is not a moderate. And if this issue is of a concern to you, electing him governor, folks, if you're a mom, if you're one of these school district mothers who's concerned about this stuff, electing Josh Shapiro to be governor through executive order, we know what he'll do. With the Pennsylvania Department of Education, if you're a mom, if you're a dad, if you have students in public school in Pennsylvania, and you make Josh Shapiro the governor of Pennsylvania, you can damn sure bet he'll go around the legislature and he'll force this issue. And he'll force this issue for your girls in college, too. Any of you publicly funded college students out there, or if you've got kids in college in any publicly funded school in Pennsylvania, he will continue to force this issue. He will use the power of the governor's office to force your biological girls to compete against biological males. He will do it. That's a promise. He's already shown he will. He was committed to it years ago. Josh Shapiro is not a moderate. He is a radical, wacko left winger. And he's willing to use his executive office to muscle these policies. He's not going to put them up to vote. He's just going to make them so through executive action. You're on notice. We're all on notice here. We have the chance to make the right decision in November. Or we're going to fall for this slick, you know, glossy mainline Montgomery County spin that he's just, you know, he's just a native son of the lily white neighborhoods, the leafy suburbs of Montgomery County. He's just a normal fella. Mastriano's extreme. No, actually just the opposite. 610-850-0990. Alan is in Perkasie on Open Line Friday. Alan, good morning. Welcome in.
Good morning, Chris. I have been wondering if Joe Biden really has dementia. And this whole thing with Jackie really solved it for me. He doesn't have dementia. He has the sixth sense. He sees dead people. Yeah, whenever he's turning left and right and waving in the air, he just sees people there.
How do you read that when he says yesterday, we played some of that, Victoria, I don't know if you can find that or not, where Biden, he's holding an event on hunger, and he's referencing a woman who he's supposedly honoring today at the White House, but 2 days ago, he's holding an event where she was a part of a bipartisan issue on hunger, and he's reading a teleprompter, and here's the thing, I think somebody sandbagged him. Seriously, I think a staffer wrote her name in the prompter, or he misread it. I'm not sure which, but nevertheless, he references a dead woman. She's dead, and she's looking around. Where's Jackie? Oh, no, she's not here. She must be somewhere else today. I think we have it here. If for some reason you missed it, let's play it. Here we go.
Partisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here to help make this a reality.
Yeah, so here's the thing. In the prompter, I think they just made a list of people who helped make it happen. He, like a dope, took it to the next level and said, "Where's Jackie?" Completely forgetting she's dead. That's how I read it, Alan.
I'm convinced he sees dead people.
Thank you, my friend. Glad you called. Open Line Friday today. 610-850-0990. We're going to talk about these hearings held by the Republicans at the Navy Yard yesterday on Larry Krasner and the violent crime of Philadelphia coming up. One of the state reps who was on the panel yesterday, his name is Torrin Ecker. He'll be with us. And, of course, your calls at 610-850-0990. I should remind you, if you do not have tickets, they're sold out, I'm sorry to say, for October 19th, our Battleground Talkers Tour. The Fuge in Warminster, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, me, we'll all be there. The tickets, unfortunately, are already gone. But you can still win some. So if you'd like to win tickets, go to 990theanswer.com this morning. That's the website, 990theanswer.com, and get registered, and hopefully we will choose your name. We've got to select a few winners to come on us, all right? So come on in and get registered. Hopefully we will select your name to win if you weren't able to buy them. But it's going to be a great night, and I can't wait to see you there. Fuge in Warminster, Wednesday, October 19th.
Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
Open Line Friday. I'm not going to be able to get to everybody before we run out of time in this segment, but if you can hang around, I hope that you will. I will get to your calls, all of them, I promise. I do want to talk about this hearing yesterday in Pennsylvania's, the Pennsylvania 193rd District Representative who came to Philadelphia with others. They held this hearing on Krasner and violence in Philadelphia yesterday, and Torrin Ecker, that state rep, will be on the show. I want to talk about what happened at that hearing yesterday coming up, but I will take your calls. I've got lots of room for Open Line Friday in the next hour, so if I don't get to you here, hang on if you can with me, and I'll get there. Tanya, waiting patiently, glad you called. Welcome in.
Hi, Chris. I want to say thanks for keeping on reminding people about Josh Shapiro's record, because nowadays people have a really short attention span and they need to be reminded that he fought to close the businesses and keep them closed and mask the kids. And he's the extremist. I'm really disgusted by the ads from squishes like Republicans against Mastriano. He's too radical for us. I'm a Republican and I'm voting for Shapiro. And then fundraising by people like Jeff Bartos. Disgusting. I mean, Shapiro is the extremist. He's another silent tyrant like Wolf. I call him Silent Tyrant 2.0 because he's basically the enforcement arm of the Wolf administration. I don't know why people don't understand that, or they've forgotten.
Yeah, you cannot separate Josh Shapiro from Tom Wolf. If you like what's going on in Harrisburg right now, imagine this with legal chops and legal teeth. And that's Josh Shapiro. You're exactly right. So I've been saying this all week, as you know, and I keep pounding this. John Fetterman, Tom Wolf, if you like those guys, this is them with a law degree, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's it. I appreciate it. Danya, thank you. Hey, Norm, on line three. Glad you called. Norm, welcome in. Gone? Okay, Norm's gone. All right, hang tight, because we're up against it here. 610-850-0990, that's our telephone number. Don't forget, by the way, if you haven't watched it yet, Uncle Tom 2, fantastic. Now available at salemnow.com. You can stream it on demand. You can order the DVD if that's what you prefer. But if you liked Uncle Tom, Larry Elder's successful 2020 release, this new one that's out, it's even better. I mean, it's really good, so I hope you'll check it out. Go to salemnow.com and download it. Good for that rainy
this
Saturday
watch.
This
is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Your common sense is really keeping me sane. Thank you.
I start in the morning with Chris, and then I go all the way through the day until I get out of my car when I come home.
Good morning, man. Love your show.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Fridays around here are our tribute to Rush, because we miss him. we do what he used to do. Open Line Friday. If there is something on your mind, if there's something we didn't get to, if there's something you want to talk about, today's your day. Just like he used to do, we turn it over to you. After our next guest, we have cleared the day, the rest of the day for you. At 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990, line them up. Victoria has a couple of slots left. So once we're done talking with the representative, our next guest here, I'd love to hear from you till the conclusion of today's show to round out the week. 610-850-0990. We're glad to have Pennsylvania State Representative from the 193rd District, parts of Adams County he represents, as well as Cumberland County, Torrin Ecker. He was part of this select committee on restoring law and order that came to Philadelphia yesterday. We're glad to have him on this morning. Mr. Ecker, glad you're here. Hello.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. And thanks for coming to Philadelphia and highlighting this, since I know, frankly, the guy that's chiefly responsible for law enforcement, at least prosecutions in Philadelphia, wasn't interested in coming to you, which I want to get into in a minute. But before we do, let's just talk about what happened yesterday and what did you learn? Was it a fruitful endeavor?
Yeah, so yesterday was about, you know, first listening from crime victims and hearing their stories and some of the challenges they've faced in Philadelphia, not only with the district attorney's office, but really just in general, and hearing their stories. And it was a difficult morning to hear some of the stories that these families share. Nikisha Billa was, you know, gave really powerful remarks. This is the second time I've been in her presence, and just gives a terrible yet strong story of what's happening in the city of Philadelphia.
I mean, anywhere you look, any day you look, I'm sorry to say, there's a headline, usually multiples. I mean, there's a clip that I've been playing now for weeks on the show of a local cemetery that can't, in Delaware County, they can't keep, the story was they cannot keep up the fresh graves they're digging from homicide victims. It just doesn't get more grisly than that. People that are, you know, fleeing the city because they just, it's not the city they grew up in. Wawa's being ransacked. Got a guy that was just mowed over yesterday by a hit and run. Two more teenagers shot. Kids playing football in Roxborough, they get shot every single day. And it just seems like every time you think it can't be more depraved and callous, you know, a guy, 23-year-old guy gets shot in the back walking home near Drexel the other day by just some random guy for no real reason. It feels, it's a hellscape out there, Representative, as you know.
Yeah, it's horrific. It's absolutely horrific. And it's why we've taken, Chairman Lawrence spoke yesterday about this. We have a duty as the House of Representatives to look into this and see what's happening. And there's a lot of fingers pointing at Larry Krasner. I'm pretty well on record of pointing blame at him for some of this as well. But, we have got to do something. That's what these hearings are set to do. We've done a lot of work already this summer with interviews and talking to folks, subpoenaing records. This is about getting to the bottom of getting Philadelphia back to the powerhouse that it is in the Commonwealth.
What, in all sincerity, and, you know, you don't, I'm not looking for an answer. I'm just genuinely trying to understand it. You know, you come from Adams County, some parts of Adams County and Cumberland County. That part of the Commonwealth wouldn't necessarily, residents don't live in Philadelphia and in the Southeast, so they don't, and I say this with respect, I understand it completely. They choose to live where you live. They don't choose to live in the Southeast, so I think sometimes it might be out of sight, out of mind, and, hey, we've got our own problems. We've got an economic situation here. What do you think the point of view is of Pennsylvanians writ large about this decay in Philadelphia? Or has it always been that's their deal. That's down in the Southeast kind of a thing. I get it if that's the attitude. I'm just curious how we overcome it, if so.
You know, when I started working with Martine on this a number of months ago, almost a year ago, I wondered the same thing. You know, do folks in my neck of the woods really care about what's happening in Philadelphia? And I got to say, they do. And I think it's just how horrific, how terrible, you know, the news headlines are coming out of the city of Philadelphia. People are worried that that's going to come our way, or they have family that lives in Philadelphia, or they have kids that go to school at one of the universities in the city, or you know, they have they want to go visit there, or whatever the case may be, or they know that Philadelphia is one of the economic drivers of this state's economy. All of those reasons are why I think Pennsylvanians are starting to pay attention and care a lot about what's happening in the city of Philadelphia.
May I ask you just broadly, I know this is a little outside the lane of this conversation. If you don't want to go there, that's fine. But I just have to know, as Pennsylvanians consider people on their ballot in November, we're talking about a Wolf administration that I would assume has been less than helpful to you guys as Republicans in the legislature. Tom Wolf specifically. So when you're talking about John Fetterman, who wants to be the next United States Senator, when you're talking about Josh Shapiro, the Attorney General, who wants to be the next governor, what should voters know about these men, Shapiro and Fetterman, and their help on this issue of reigning in crime in Philadelphia?
Well, look, I'll tell you this. Last year, we passed legislation to give concurrent jurisdiction to the Attorney General's office to kind of step in where the district attorney's office was not. And it's been pretty quiet from his office on this. I know he's tried to take a win or two here or there, but the whole point of that was to give him powers to come in and you know, take over where Larry Krasner was not. And he really hasn't used that power.
Okay, you know, so this is really important because we had, if I may, sorry to interrupt, but we and this was very frustrating. We had John McNesby, the president of FOP Lodge 5 here, on the show earlier in the week, and he endorsed Shapiro. And I said, I don't understand that. And I really kind of pushed back pretty stridently. I said, because I don't understand what he's done to help you guys with the criminal element of Philadelphia, to which he answered something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing, well, he can't, you know, people misunderstand his role here. It's not like he can come in here and do something about it directly himself. You're suggesting just the opposite is true. Josh Shapiro could have acted, could be doing something more about the criminal element of Philadelphia if he wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, this is maybe that was true a number of years ago, but the whole point of this legislation was to give him concurrent jurisdiction, or more specifically, the Attorney General's office as a whole, concurrent jurisdiction in the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's, I don't think a lot of people know that, or maybe, you know, John McNesby doesn't know that, but that's pretty important here. Let me talk specifically about Krasner for a minute. You guys called him to testify in Harrisburg. He didn't come. 10, as I understand it, or maybe more, of your Democrat colleagues voted with Republicans to hold him in contempt. Have I got that right?
So we asked, partially. So we subpoenaed records from his office rather than, and we subpoenaed numerous folks, but we subpoenaed general things, discovery from his office, policies, that type of thing. And instead of complying, like most everybody else has, he sued us and said, that the subpoena is invalid. Your committee's invalid. The House has no power to investigate, so on and so forth. And because of that, we gave him 4 opportunities to comply. And after that, we were under a duty to report to the General House that he has not complied. So 162, I believe, House members out of 203. So you can do the math there. We had a lot of Democrats that voted with us, voted to hold him in contempt for not complying with the subpoena.
Okay, so to be clear, he was not physically summoned to Harrisburg. You just wanted materials, documents related to cases and work he does. Is that right?
That's correct. And we haven't gotten to the point of subpoenaing him to testify yet. You know, we haven't made that determination, but step one is just getting documents and policies in any kind of case or any kind of investigation, and we couldn't even get that far.
Can you help me understand the legal ramifications of that? I mean, or if he refuses to testify, if in fact you call him to testify, he claims yesterday, this kind of irritated me, he was on local media whining that he wanted to come to your hearing and you wouldn't allow him to come. Do you care to speak to that first? I mean, all of a sudden he's a martyr, he's a victim, poor fella, he wants to come talk and you won't let him?
Yeah, I mean, we decide who we want to talk to, and the chairman's been pretty clear about that. Yesterday was not about Larry Krasner. It is about talking to crime victims and hearing from experts in this field to talk about what grand juries are. Today we're going to hear about what DA's general powers are. We're going to learn about sentencing. The Sentencing Commission is going to present about sentencing guidelines. You know, when we're ready to talk to Larry Krasner, we'll be happy to have him testify, but he doesn't get to just determine when and where he's going to show up.
Torrin Ecker, Representative Ecker is the 193rd district representative in Pennsylvania, serving parts of Adams County and Cumberland County. Where does this go legally if the guy does not comply? I guess he's now, because I started, I think, because you've got some Democrats who are now leaning in on him, too, and it's just undeniably true that the city is spiraling out of control. It seems he's now starting to feel pressure, and he's not quite as flippant as he used to be. He has been now willing to turn over some things you wanted. Is that right, Krasner?
Yes. He gave us a document dump, I believe, either beginning of this week or late last week, so I know we're working through that. So he has provided some documents, which most folks would do. I mean, we aren't asking for privileged documents, confidential documents. Those are the arguments we can certainly have. He just flippantly and blatantly early on just said, I'm not providing anything because I don't have to. So he has now started to comply with that since the contempt vote. But we'll kind of work through the documents and see what we have.
He went on local television 2 days ago or yesterday. I don't remember. The days are all running together now. And said some pretty remarkable stuff. Victoria, I don't know if you can do this for me or not. Number 20? Yeah. This is from the 28th, 7820. Victoria is the clip specifically I'm looking for. Number 7820. He was talking with Mike Jarek on Fox 29, Representative. And Victoria, if we have that, I'll play it and let you respond.
We've had it. I mean, the city has had it. So we want you, Mayor Kenney, and Commissioner Outlaw to do something about it.
I was at the location shortly after the shooting. I was there for quite some time. And I have to tell you, it is one of the most heartbreaking cases that we have seen, because we expect our schools to be that safe place where young people go to do things that are constructive,
yeah, okay. So
to play football,
Victoria,
like every one
ahead
of these.
Two, go down three more clips, please. 7820.
Because you have to do that to play football.
There are multiple things going on in the system.
But it has never been the case before, until we had reform prosecutors, where people tried to blame just one entity. We all have to work together, and the reality is that we have been more effective.
And you are a reform district attorney. Everybody in the country knows that. But maybe it's not working.
It is working. The reality is that our conviction...
1,000 people killed in 20 months.
It is working. The reality is, when you look at all these different jurisdictions, we have had a devastating blow from the pandemic, and there is absolutely no correlation between being progressive or traditional and the rate of crime. These states in the United States that have a rate of homicide that is 40% higher are MAGA states. They are Trump states. I'll say it again. The rate of homicide in Trump states, as compared to Biden states, take all 50 of them, is 40% higher.
You know, Republicans say the opposite. It's all the blue cities.
Republicans lie. I mean, let's just get down to it. Republicans lie. That is what they do. Eight of the 10 cities without, not, well, okay, that's right. Not all of them do, but the MAGA ones do. Eight out of 10 of the most violent cities are Trump cities. Like, we got to get real about this. Facts matter. Law matters.
So if the perception about you is there, and I still say the perception is there, right or wrong, D.A. Krasner, maybe for a fresh start, resign. That doesn't even cross your mind, does it?
No, because the fact is Philadelphia voted for me overwhelmingly because they want what we are doing.
And
when you bring change, the reality is that there are certain entities who don't want change. They're making a pretty good living off of doing things the old way. The NRA doesn't like me because I speak the truth about the NRA. Our governor has tried his entire term to pass four different things to bring gun safety. The Republicans won't do it, and they need something and somebody to blame. This is very old Republican politics.
I mean, Torrin Ecker with us again, Pennsylvania's representative from the 193rd District. These hearings today, the Select Committee on Restoring Law and Order. That's Larry Krasner on Fox 29 this week. He shouts Trump, he shouts NRA, he shouts MAGA. You talk about deflection. Your reaction to any of that? What we're doing is working. It is working. You know, an exacerbated news anchor, Mike Jarek, says 1,000 deaths. It's not working. Just dystopian.
I had heard this clip earlier in the week, and it just shows you the arrogance that is coming from the district attorney's office. And we heard testimony yesterday from someone from Ms. Billa, who originally was excited for Larry Krasner. She thought he was going to bring change to the city, good change. And now he's kind of realized that you got to hold people accountable. criminals, you can advance criminal justice reform, but you need to also care about holding criminals accountable. And that's just what's not happening in the district attorney's office.
Apparently, I saw some footage. The media was rather amused with Democrats spent money. I mean, there was actual money spent. It was actually rather, I must say, involved. Little display they set up outside the hearings to suggest that what you were doing was a circus. People in animal costumes and on stilts, and they had big banners. I mean, it was very well produced to make it look like a traveling circus out in front of the hearings. I was struck at how much kind of money and time was spent in making this display for the media. So they clearly, you know, they're again, you're liars. You're making a mockery of justice or some such a thing. The reality tells the tale, though. I mean, it's not like you guys have to do much pushing back. The bodies are stacking up in the morgues, Representative.
Yeah, and Chris, I think it's disgusting, you know, what happened yesterday with that the quote-unquote circus that was outside. While victims are bearing their hearts of the tragedies of their families, we have literally circus folks outside, you know, protesting these victims of crime. And if this is how Larry Krasner feels about crime victims, then, I mean, I think that says it all.
How does this end? I mean, we have a mayor in Philadelphia who's basically said, I quit. I can't wait to get out of here, which I think is maybe the first honest thing he said in years. I'm done. I've never in my life have I heard an executive of a city just say, I can't wait to not be mayor anymore. Sure. We feel the same. Krasner's different, though. Krasner says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm proud of what I'm doing. What I'm doing is working. I won overwhelmingly. So he's entrenched. The mayor would leave today if he could. So what is next steps here? I mean, let's walk it out. And maybe you don't want to do this, but I mean, what can ultimately Harrisburg do about Larry Krasner?
Well, look, the committee's been tasked to do a number of things. The consideration of impeachment is obviously one of them. But there's other things that this committee's been tasked to do to help victims of crime and help folks deal with the crime issue that's happening in the lawlessness of Philadelphia. Some of that could be policy changes. Some of that could be funding requests. Some of it could be how do we restrict the district attorney's offices across the state to provide some more accountability and some more oversight. But ultimately, you know, the only way to effectively remove an elected official in the state of Pennsylvania is impeachment. We don't have recalls. We don't have any other mechanism to remove an elected official from office. Other than impeachment.
So, yeah. And what does it, again, just procedurally speaking, we're not there yet, or maybe you can't speak to when or how that might happen, but I am curious what that looks like. Does there have to be like a formal proceeding? Is the governor involved? The legislature can do it alone? How's it work?
So from just an overview of how impeachment works in Pennsylvania, it's very similarly situated as to what we've seen at the federal level, where the House of Representatives moves in articles of impeachment. By that would need to pass by a majority vote. Again, this is all outlined in the Pennsylvania Constitution. The House would have to pass an article of impeachment by a majority vote. And then after the House passes, if the House would pass an articles of impeachment, that would then go to the Senate for trial to decide whether or not to remove that elected official. And that would require a 2/3 vote. So it's set up very similarly to some of the impeachments we've seen in Washington over the last couple of years.
Okay, and so ultimately, if he's tried in the Senate, it takes a 2/3 conviction vote?
That's correct.
Do you guys think that you have Democrat support pretty widely now? I mean, the contempt vote seems to suggest you do.
Sure. I mean, that vote, that's 161. I mean, we had, the math there, at least 50, roughly 50, you know, Democrats voted with us there. So now that's a little bit different vote than impeachment. But even when we passed certain resolutions dealing with this committee, that, you know, we've had bipartisan support already. So I know I've had private conversations with folks that on the other side of the aisle that would ultimately likely vote for impeachment. And we've heard from some of them on the House floor. So I do think there's bipartisan support. And as we move through this process, that's why we're doing these hearings. That's why we're being objective and articulate in our hearings and in our investigations, so that this isn't just us voting a guy out because we think he's a bad guy. It's because he's done things that have been in dereliction of his office and have been rise to the level of misbehavior in office.
It is uncommon, but it is not unprecedented when things get out of hand with law enforcement in certain cities around the country. My home city of Kansas City, where I come from originally, this was the case. It was over corruption, not crime. But because of massive corruption, the state of Missouri, their capital, Jefferson City, the legislature took over policing in Kansas City. And to this day, the capital runs a police board that governs the city of Kansas City's police force. Could you see that things would degrade to such a degree that Harrisburg would need to govern policing and crime in Philadelphia? Could it get there?
Well, I certainly hope it doesn't have to get to there. And, you know, our law enforcement here are not the issue. You know, I think I have utmost respect for our law enforcement. They're trying to do their jobs, but their hands are being tied. And you know, I don't know that that's something that we've discussed, and or even if it's a legal possibility. But again, this is another one of the tasks of our committee, is to come up with solutions to solve the crime issue that is happening in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, because the cops tell us, as you know, you understand, I'm sure they're going to be part of your testimony if they haven't already been. It's not like they're not doing their work. They're 800 cops short pre-pandemic, so they have a terrible shortage. But then it's a matter of when they do their jobs, what happens once they get these people arrested and turned over. Krasner's, you know, letting them go. So it's, you know, it's almost, in this case, it's not that the cops are the bad guys, but they just, they may need the reinforcements of Harrisburg, so I hope they get them from you. I'm grateful to you, Representative, for coming on. More hearings today, right?
That's correct, yes. Today we hear from the District Attorney's Association, where Krasner has decided that he's going to pull out, which the District Attorney's Office, I'm sorry, the District Attorney's Association, one of their big roles is actually training and providing training for DAs. And so we'll get into that, and then I think the second speaker is someone from the Sentencing Commission, just talking about PA sentencing guidelines and how that's maybe different here in the city of Philadelphia.
Is it fair to say that as voters consider this issue, if they're concerned about this issue in November, is it fair to say that a vote for Josh Shapiro is a vote for this chaos to continue? Would you tie the two?
Well, look, I don't know if I could tie him directly, but, you know, I think actions speak louder than words. And we've seen how, you know, the Attorney General has not really done much to weigh in on the issue in Philadelphia. And I think that should say it all.
Yeah. Do you have any reason to think things would change with a Governor Shapiro?
Yeah, I can't say one way or the other on that, actually. It would seem like it would, based upon prior actions, it may be more of the status quo, at least from Harrisburg.
Yeah, I mean, if he'd say a word against Larry Krasner, maybe I'd be inclined to believe it would be different, but he won't. He won't publicly admonish Larry Krasner at all. So, Representative Tornecker, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate being on the show.
He's part of the Select Committee on Restoring Law and Order, second day of hearings here in Philadelphia. All right, your reaction to that or whatever you have on your noodle. It's Open Line Friday, and I got a line for you. Victoria manning the phones today, in for Fast Eddie. 610-850-0990. Come on in. 610-850-0990. Something on your mind? You let me know it. Doesn't have to be what we're talking about either. It can be something completely unrelated. Love to hear from you. Coming up.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt. Join me weekday mornings at 11 on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer and 990theanswer.com.
Great to be with you. It's Open Line Friday. Your opportunity to weigh in on whatever is on your mind. 610-850-0990 if you care to reach us. 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. Next week, the Supreme Court gets underway, and I have this headline from The Hill. By the way, it's been something like 150 days since we had the leak on the Roe decision. Where are we on the investigation of the leakers? I've missed that. Have you heard any update? I haven't. Although the Supreme Court from The Hill won't likely be talking much about guns and abortions this term, there will be fireworks on issues ranging from race preferences at colleges to California's politically correct bacon regulations. No kidding. To the perennial question of what the heck is a wetland subject to federal control. Wrapped up in the court's cases will be continuing questions over the fundamental nature of government and what power the different branches of government may have under the structure of the Constitution. We're going to get into this on Monday's show with the Pacific Legal Foundation what to look for as this Supreme Court reconvenes and we wait for new hearings in the 2022-2023 term. Also on Monday, programming note, Dennis Prager will be with us. And I'm really excited to talk with Dennis. He's been doing some tremendous work, as you know, with a project he calls the Rational Bible. And he's out with the Deuteronomy edition of the Rational Bible. His best-selling series is out October 11th. And, of course, he's coming to town to the Fuge in Warminster for our big event on October 19th, along with Sebastian Gorka and Mike Gallagher. And I'll be there, too. I can't wait. I hope you got your tickets. And if you didn't, unfortunately, they're sold out. But there's still an opportunity to win them if you go to 990theanswer.com and get signed up. We're going to give away a few. All right. So good luck to you. I hope you will try to win them if you didn't buy them. Joe Manchin, meanwhile, is up for re-election in 2020. The senator for 2024, the senator from West Virginia, and the poor fella. The moderate West Virginia Democrat telling CNN Thursday he's undecided on whether he wants to run for another term. Here's a little of what he had to say yesterday. Number 39.
If they defeat me, I get to go home. That's my consolation. This is not the best job in the world, I can assure you. I've had better jobs. I haven't made any decisions on that. I'm waiting for 2022. I'll look and see how this election comes out and where we stand and what we can do and what we can get done.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like Jim Kenney. This isn't a great job. I want the hell out of here. This isn't the best job in the world. They're going to toss him out on his ass. There's no way he's going to win in 2024. West Virginia Democrats are not going to reward that guy another time. Well, I should say West Virginia Republicans. It's hard to find a Democrat, a true Democrat in West Virginia. So he says it's going to depend on the outcome in November as to whether or not he sticks around. Well, what he means is, will the Democrats stay in the majority or not? The walls are starting to close in on old Joe, and he knows it. So somebody made the great point the other day when they called in about this House and the fact that Republicans could end up, I mean, it kind of depends on the estimates. Some have said 40. You know, back in 2010, Republicans ran up 60 seats. I don't know that we'll get there, but somebody made the point, Chris, a lot of these Democrats are not running again. They're quitting. They're retiring. So these aren't straight head-to-head matchups. There's a lot of people just vacating their seat. Remember, Democrats only control the House by 4. So it would be almost impossible for Republicans not to take the House. Senate, a tougher prospect, but nevertheless. Okay, let's get to a little of the audio yesterday. Joe Biden, if you weren't here, he spoke at the FEMA headquarters. They were trying to get his attention. He went wandering off a couple of different times. Mr. President, Mr. President. One of the moments yesterday was when he decided to bully oil and gas executives. If he sees the gas prices go up even a tick, there's going to be hell to pay from old Gramps. Take a listen.
I also want to say again to the oil and gas executives, do not use this storm as an excuse to raise gasoline prices or gouge the American public. The price of oil has dropped in recent weeks. The price of gas should be going down as rapidly. It's not. My experts inform me the production of only about 160,000 barrels a day has been impacted by this storm. That's less than 2% of our country's daily production. Its small and temporary impact on oil production provides no excuse for price increases at the pump, period. If a gas station companies try to use this storm to raise prices, I'm going to ask officials to look into whether or not the price gouging is going on. America's okay. Watching, and yeah. The industry should do the right thing. I expect them to do the right thing.
So two things yesterday that I noted from this press conference with Biden. He ran out there to make two points. Number one, this was the deadliest hurricane in the history of hurricanes. It's never been deadlier. He declared it so before we even know those numbers. They needed to be. Again, they're chasing this climate change issue. They have just been desperate to politicize it. But number two, he knows gas prices are rising. They're rising right now. And so he's immediately, this is classic Obama. They have isolated their enemy, and they have decided that big oil is who they're going to run against now as we head to November. As oil prices start to tick up again, and they will, and they're going to get worse, they're going to be held at bay until after the election, and then you can bet they're going to skyrocket upward right back up to $5 a gallon. As sure as I sit here, it's coming. But to try to hold the line, he's going to make the case that, no, oh, those greedy oil bastards are trying to take advantage of the hurricane, and I won't let them. They are hanging on by a thread with their message with a month to go to the election. All right, 610-850-0990 on open line Friday. Let's go to Sean, who's been very, very patient. Sean, I'm glad you called. Welcome in. Good morning.
Chris, my brother from another mother. What's up, man?
How you doing, my man? Well, happy Friday to you.
Hanging in there. Victoria, what's up? Eddie, if you're listening, what's up, brother? Hey, Chris, I would like to give you the Cy Young Award for throwing the softest pitches over the plate for these representatives sometimes, and they still can't hit it. The answer is yes. There is a correlation between D.A. Krasner and Josh Shapiro, the two chief law enforcement officers. Yeah.
May I look, you're not a dumb guy, and neither is this audience. I try to be polite because I know you're smart and you've already picked up on it, and several did, and I got lots of tweets to this effect. Here's, may I speak Harrisburg a little bit here in the representative's answer in the last interview when I said, should people consider this when they're voting in November? Josh Shapiro, would there be the dimes were the difference? And he says, well, I don't really know that I can. Eh. Do you know why he answers it that way? There is an answer to this. Do you know why he said it that way?
Does Shapiro have something on him? I don't know.
They don't think Mastriano can win. They've already calculated it's Shapiro's, and Shapiro's going to be the governor, and they want to work with him, so they don't want to antagonize him. That's
interesting.
Why. Really? I hate saying it that way, but there are so many Republicans that have already concluded there's not a snow. Well, I mean, look, all due respect, my colleague Hugh Hewitt, I was told, was apparently on his show a couple of days ago. He just declared there was no way in the world Doug Mastriano could win, that Josh Shapiro was absolutely going to win. I mean, I respectfully disagree with Hugh, but that is the attitude amongst a lot of Pennsylvania Republicans. Shapiro's just going to win. There's not a shot in hell Mastriano wins, so we may as well just play nice with Shapiro now. I'm sorry to say it, but that's what a lot of them think.
Well, PA, vote for Mastriano big time, vote for Oz big time. If you don't, you will be living in New York City like me pretty much. So there's your alternative. Either you vote for Mastriano and get Dr. Oz in there, or Pennsylvania will be New York.
You know, some of my friends, I don't know if you heard the press conference with your mayor, Eric Adams, who said this week, some of my friends out in Kansas took note of this. Did you hear the press conference where Eric Adams said, hey, New York has a brand. We have a brand to protect here. You know, places like Kansas, they don't have a brand. But, you know, here in New York, we have a brand. That ticked off some Kansans out there. What's the brand of New York these days, Sean?
I watch this, man, and I'm looking at people get brutalized on a daily basis. A woman not too far from where I live by JFK Airport was brutalized at 5 o'clock in the morning, right there in JFK Airport. JFK Airport, a woman was brutalized by some random degenerate. We had an EMS lieutenant. She was just randomly stabbed to death by some degenerate. And this is the same mayor who's out here saying, I don't want law-abiding citizens to legally carry a firearm to protect themselves. So my thing is this, and I'm totally off topic of what I called in about Nord Stream 2, but, you know, let's just keep going. My thing is this, Chris. I think people in cities like New York, Philadelphia, you should start suing the city. Start suing the people who are letting out these criminal degenerates who are brutalizing the innocent. And maybe it'll stop. Start suing these judges who gets a criminal in front of him who has a rap sheet 1,000 miles long, attempted murders, sodomy of a child, and then you let him out. And then he goes out and brutalizes somebody else. I think people need, I don't know if we can, I'm going to seriously look into it, but maybe the people who are being brutalized in these cities maybe you should get an attorney and say, can I sue the city for not keeping me safe, for letting these degenerates back out on the street because they feel that, you know, people shouldn't have a bail? Yep. I mean, it's insane, Chris.
Before I let you go, I know that's not why you called. I see that you actually did call on the Nord Stream thing, and I want you to bring it up only because I got this question that I think you're going to ask me from a lot of people yesterday. And so go ahead, please.
Well, Nord Stream 2 was sabotaged. Our NATO allies are enraged about it. The same people who don't want fossil fuels are enraged about fossil fuel pipelines being sabotaged. But, Chris, look, I am no fan of Putin and Russia, but Putin doesn't have to sabotage the pipelines. He can just shut them off.
Yep.
Now, our own president said, oh, we can shut down Nord Stream 1 and 2. But how the hell are you going to do that, Biden? Because you don't control the spigot. Chris, what's going to happen if it comes out America sabotaged NATO allies by sabotaging Nord Stream 1 and 2?
A lot of people reached out to me yesterday suggesting this and asking this. I got this a lot. I got friends, family, they texted me, do you think we blew up those pipelines ourselves? So how do you answer that? You think we did, it sounds like.
I mean, Biden basically said we were going to do that. I think we did it.
If we did that, why did we do that, do you suppose?
Because they're trying to hurt Russia's stream of natural gas flow, but that's not just hurting Russia, it's hurting NATO. Putin does not have to sabotage his own pipeline. He can just shut it off. Mm-hmm. Okay. It makes no sense for them to say Russia sabotaged their own pipeline. All the man has to do is shut the spigot off. But at the same time, by trying to hurt Russia, we inadvertently hurt our own allies in the EU, and they're enraged about it. I don't know, Chris.
So what do you think this leads to? Well, yeah, there is, but what do you think it leads to? What's the point? Like, if you gave me the punchline on it, to what end?
Well, Chris, we're essentially at war with Russia through proxy. We're funding the war. We have special forces and spec ops dressing up as Ukrainian soldiers helping to fight this war. That's why the tide is turning. Listen, Ukrainians have a great, you know, we love our country and we will fight for our country, but they didn't have that tactical technique and the military ability to do it. We literally have special forces and spec ops on the ground. We're fighting a war with Russia, and they're saying we're not.
Well, $17 billion going strong so far, right? $17 billion.
Way more than a proxy war, though, Chris. We're literally at war with Russia. Chris, we went from lifting sanctions, allowing him to invade Ukraine, hoping that he would just conquer it, you know, immediately, and it just didn't happen. Now we're literally fighting Russia ourselves through proxy.
Yeah. And Putin is on TV as we speak talking about annexing occupied Ukrainian regions. And, you know, that's what the United States says is a tipping point. So, I mean, they seem to be agitating for conflict. They want it pretty bad. All right, my friend. Listen, Sean, I appreciate it. Thank you for bringing it up. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for calling on Open Line Friday. Is Mercedes still with us, Victoria? She waited patiently, too. Mercedes, glad you called to Open Line Friday. Welcome in. Hi.
Hi. Regarding the transgender issue and Shapiro and Fetterman, you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
I'm addressing this to all biological females. Any one of you who votes for Shapiro and or Fetterman are fools. By wanting or allowing males into female facilities or sports, Shapiro and Fetterman are showing disrespect and care nothing about our rights, safety, well-being, or our true biological femininity.
Beautifully said. It's impossible to argue. Thank you so much, Mercedes, for the phone call. I'm grateful on Open Line Friday. 610-850-0990. Umberto is next. Umberto, welcome to the show. Glad you called. Good morning, Chris.
I like talking to you. Listen, the main focus was 2020. Defund the cops, Antifa, and Black Lives Matter. That's what led to all of this. You know, everything else, we're just picking it up because it's like a leftover of trying to fix what happened. But the Democrats cannot win this election. You know, and being as a fellow Democrat, I see all the crime rate. I see all the kidnapping, murdering. It's just not right. If any citizen is listening, I mean, you're either dumb or retarded if you're voting Democrat come November.
You are a Democrat? You're a registered Democrat, Umberto? Yeah. Is that what you said?
Yes, I've been a 30-year voting Democrat, and I'm thinking now Republican.
Did you vote?
I'm done with the party.
Did you vote for Donald Trump?
Yes, I did.
Oh, really? Okay, but you've always voted for Democrats otherwise.
We spoke back in 2020, you and me. 2020 was the actual effect of what's happening now. We see the results. Defund the cops. And then
out of curiosity, Umberto, so you voted for Trump. You've been a registered Democrat. You vote for Trump. And now what? Have you party switched, or are you still registered Democrat?
No, I'm still registered Democrat, and I'm thinking about switching.
So you'll vote for governor and Senate? Are you voting Oz and Mastriano the Republicans?
I'm not voting for Shapiro, and I'm not voting for Fetterman. They're a bunch of communists. I can't vote communist.
So you will vote for the Republicans both?
Yes, I will, most definitely. And believe me, I'm in the streets, and there's a lot of Democrats people. I ain't talking about as far as political party. I'm talking about general and people. People in the streets are talking about voting Republican. Blacks, Hispanic, Asians, a lot of friends of mine that are Democrats talking about voting Republican.
Is this true, then, what we hear from Trafalgar, maybe you're talking about the either shy or submerged voter. Do you think there are a lot of people out there, as you just described, who may vote one way but not actually say?
Yeah, they're going to vote. Listen, the West Philly, North Philly, they're scared. They're the statistical data, as far as the political structures, the word is they know that the Democratic citizens are going to vote Republican, and they're scared.
Wow. Wow.
Well, they are scared. Everything else they're selling us is an illusion. It's just words to trick people's mind. But really, really, people are fed up and tired of the district attorney, the agenda, and people are ready to vote Republican. That's every
you stay
day
in touch. I value your ear here on the ground, so please stay in touch and keep me abreast of anything you hear or see.
Stay in touch all the way till the election. You know, I listen to you every morning when I get up, every morning.
Thank you, my friend. I'm grateful. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. That's Umberto in Philadelphia. That's the second registered Democrat today. Telephone number, anecdotal, folks. I'm not saying it's indicative. I'm not promising anything. I'm just saying that that's notable to me. 610-850-0990 on Open Line Friday.
Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris Segal. Only on Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer.
I hope you'll check out the podcast. Each and every day we crank one out. I think you really enjoy it. You can listen to it right from chrisstegall.com, or you can always download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. We do it every day. Chris Stigall, ChrisStigall. Lori's in Douglasville. Hey, Lori, I got about 30
Chris.
Seconds. They're yours. Go for it.
I got it. I love Chris. Caller Chris. He's great. He gave the reason why it's more likely to be Putin than Biden and sabotaging the pipeline. Putin needs an excuse to use these tactical nukes, and he needs more and more to use them because our special forces are on the field against him. He sabotaging the pipeline or turning it, he doesn't care. He's well past that. He could rebuild a pipeline.
Roger that, Lori. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. 3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.